Welcome to Frontline of Harmony Church Podcast. This is your host with the most, Mike Macmasunis. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Okay. No yay?
No yay today.
Wow, there's a shock. Woo. Good times. All right, fellas.
Volume 2.
Good stuff. All right. Volume 2 of our dissecting the Book of Revelation. Good stuff. It's so good. In fact, we have new listeners that are intrigued in what we're talking about, a.k.a. Our fellow friend at work is checking it out and very disappointed with what we came up with because they weren't part of the 144,000. They're like, I want to be part of the 144.
So I've been trying to get through Revelation, just about through it.
You read the whole book? Nice.
Just, it's just yeah, it does. Big. But there's two mentions of the 144,000. It was kind of earlier on where you talked about, like, you know, the 12,000 from each tribe. Uh-huh. But later on, it does talk about it in, I don't know, 15, 16-ish, 17 maybe.
And the multitude behind him.
But there was a multitude behind Jesus on the horse.
We ride with the one on the white horse.
Sorry. But the qualification for these people were all excluded from that. They will be those who have not been defiled with women.
Would that be gay people?
No, that would be men who have had relations with women. So just think about it. So in other words, it doesn't make you unclean.
You got to be single is what you're saying.
It's not a sin.
You got to be a virgin is what you're saying.
But being with a woman defiles you.
Got you. So in other words, the 144.
Interesting thought.
You have to be a virgin. Whoa. Is she a virgin?
But
there's also another part in there that's right after that that claims that men will go to heaven first before women do.
Okay.
Interesting. That's in chapter 8. And then he opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So no women in heaven for a half an hour. Us men are going to have peace and quiet in heaven.
I don't think.
And then
that's
for the rest of eternity,
but
it's
that's
all downhill.
The scripture says. And after they come to heaven,
I don't think that's what that says.
The millennium is downhill.
Sorry, ladies, I
had to put that in there. Biblical humor.
You get the award for a joke of the day.
You were talking about, and then when Jesus comes back, and then Armageddon.
Yeah, we write with.
Technically, that's not correct.
Technically, it's
because Armageddon comes after the millennium. When Satan and the false prophet are let loose for a short season.
Ooh. Hey, it's K-Bug.
And they go to Gog and Magog.
Thank you very much.
And they come back down with their forces, and that's where they meet at Megiddo. So we're kind of right in that there's going to be a big hoo-ha that happens on the Day of Atonement when Jesus comes back and he binds Satan. But there's a bigger mess later after the millennium. And that's when the New Jerusalem comes down and all that other stuff.
So the millennium is Armageddon?
No, the millennium is before Armageddon.
Okay.
See, there's a difference between...
Let's break it down in simple terms for the people listening who don't understand. Let's do Bible 101. Let's do Revelation 101 to a child.
Revelation simply means a revealing. The word in Greek is apocalyptus, which is where the Catholics get the apocalypse. Now, that does not mean a disaster. It means you pull the curtain back. You open the book. You open the Christmas present. You look to see. It's a revealing of truth. Same thing with Armageddon. Armageddon is a reference to the town of Megiddo in the Holy Land, where this last event will happen. It is not a disaster. And Western cultures changed the meanings of those two words to be somewhat synonymous with each other as this great, horrible event at the end of time. And that's really not what it is. Hmm. Okay. So you were correct. In the wrong way.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's break down the events, then how things are going to play out. So what's step one?
Step one.
Yeah. So I'm to kick off Armageddon.
Or to kick off all this tribulation yeah. stuff. The tribulations, what yeah. you want to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, okay. to kick things off.
To kick things off, there will be a world order that will rule everything.
Which is what we're headed to now.
Which is what we're headed to now.
Correct.
Which will be overseen by a very charismatic individual.
AI.
Not going to say man. Not going to say woman. Not going to say computer well, AI.
There is a spot, I think, isn't Revelation where it's supposed to be a man that doesn't care about the... Like, about women?
Right. He's a gay guy.
It could be. So,
that's what it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it sounds like
and
a gay
And he's going to come from the Middle East, and he's going to bring peace to everyone. And everybody's going to fall in line, and this is going to go down supposedly for 7 years, but least God cut the time short, all flesh would be consumed, so it will be 3.5 years. 1,280 days,
somewhere like
42 months. All there's all references to those numbers to make it 3.5 years. And then the point comes where, you know, the pimple's coming to a head. And then we have the 144,000 taken.
And they're gone for how long?
And they're gone for a week.
For
10 days.
10 days.
They're gone for 10 days. They come back with Jesus on the white horse with a fiery sword proceeding out of his mouth.
Got it.
The sword of truth, because Jesus is the word of God. And there's a slight confrontation. And Satan and the false prophet are bound in chains and thrown into the bottomless pit. That ends the tribulation. Boom. Over with. Now, while I spoke last week of the wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven, there's going to be the feast of the carrion fowl on the earth, where they devour the flesh of the unrighteous and the mighty men that fight for Satan, because they're going to start squabbling amongst themselves, apparently, and start killing each other off.
Let's back up. Mm-hmm. So to kick things off, when we talk about the New World Order, is Satan already released?
He hasn't been taken yet.
Okay, at what point is Satan? Because you said the Jesus comes to take out Satan, after the 144,000, Jesus comes, takes out Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Satan has to be on earth.
Which he is right now.
That's Revelation 14 is when that happened, so he would still be here.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been bound yet.
Okay, so we don't know for sure if he's on earth yet.
Of course he is.
I mean, he's got to be, right? Because he's ruling the earth as we speak. He ain't hiding.
Okay, spin
the clock back.
Revelation 14 is when the whole Jesus with the 144,000. Revelation 20 is when he's bound in the pit for the millennial reign.
Right. Spin it back.
Let's work backwards.
Satan is the prince of the power of the air.
Right.
The Bible says so.
Right.
He was given authority over this earth.
Right.
God creates Adam. And gives Adam that job because Satan fell.
Originally, Satan had that. Got it.
Right. And then Adam takes that over because Satan
fell. Got it.
And then Adam sinned.
And then he
It reverted right back to Satan. So Satan is still in control of this earth.
Really? It reverted back?
It reverted back to... Because Jesus hadn't come yet to rebuke him the 40 days in the desert. And says, when I return, I'm taking this from you. You're still in charge. When I come back the second time, it's over. Satan knows this. That's why he's fighting so hard. He knows his time is short.
He's trying to take as many people with him.
And take as many people with him as he can. Exactly.
So technically, he's already on the earth.
Yes.
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 And how he's hiding, who knows?
Who knows?
Exactly. Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Breaking it down like we're children here. Got it. Okay, I like it. Okay, so Satan's on earth now. clearly, because, I mean, the world is going to hell in a handbasket just by looking around. I mean, it's disgusting.
Every day you figure out that, yes, it can possibly be worse. People can be this stupid and satanic.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just saw somebody run over a bunch of ducks, baby ducks.
Seriously?
They ran over baby ducks because they were going too slow, and they're now being put in jail for doing that. But it was because, because they made a mess in their yard, they intentionally ran over while they were crossing the road, they intentionally did that, caught on video. I was like, I just saw it yesterday. I'm like, what a way to ruin my day. But anyways, it's like, just when you think things can't get any worse, they are. But anyways, so.
And then we get to, is it chapter 12? That I kind of discussed earlier, where it talks about the woman in heaven clothed in the sun with the crown of stars under her head and the moon between her feet as a link to the day when Jesus was born in the seventh month. We're talking the same thing in Revelation. It's the seventh month. We don't have recollection of the moon, but we have the dragon waiting for the woman to bear a son so he can devour him. So that's why we're still looking at the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, where Yom Teruah and the Day of Atonement come back into play again.
You're talking about the Antichrist.
The Antichrist. We're talking about the Antichrist and why the 144,000 are taken and then they come back on the Day of Atonement. We're talking about the same time period in chapter 12. Then we go to 13, where the beast comes out of the sea. Chapter 13, the beast comes out of the sea and we see another woman. All these different apocalyptic figures, to give them just the name that they come, they all have meanings. The beast out of the sea is the reconstituted Roman Empire. All of the world empires down the line, seven of them that ruled the world. The 10 heads, I believe, is the institution of the European Union, because there were 10 original countries when the EU was formed. And the 10 crowns are the leaders of those 10 countries in the EU at the founding. And I know everybody goes back, well, one of the heads was killed, so which leader died? No, it's that we're going through those death pains right now in the EU where people are leaving and all that. That could very well represent that head that was given the mortal wound and survived, because they're going through splitting up and all that. The first big country to leave was England. And then in amongst those, a little horn pops up. There's Antichrist, the little horn, amongst all the other horns.
But wouldn't that then the Antichrist be an actual nation, not a person in that case?
It depends. So it's kind of because, no.
I mean, let's think about this humanistically wise. There's no way on earth you can get somebody that everybody freaking loves. Like let's just face it. People love The Rock, right? They wanted him to run for president, and now people are turning on him, you know, for whatever reason. But, like, The Rock was probably the most – The Rock and Arnold Schwarzenegger, in my opinion, were, like, the two people that – Arnold Schwarzenegger is the perfect person who could do politics and still be loved. It's like the dude freaking, like – he was a huge mega movie star. Went into politics, came out, and people still loved him. One of the few cases where you could be political and still be loved in The Rock. But – point is that there's still some people that don't like you. So for that to be an Antichrist would bring everybody together, it's got to be AI,
right?
How
does a political leader rise in such a divided time and bring people together?
Right. It's impossible.
Okay. Is it?
Is it?
That's why I'm thinking it's got to be AI.
1932.
No, AI is
horrible. In one country, a charismatic leader came up, got the whole country to go along with what he wanted them to do. Wound up being a disaster, but everybody was calling him the Antichrist because he was going to take over the world and put this new world order, the Third Reich, that was going to last forever. That's how we mislabel leaders and people who have political influence. So we're not really sure how they're going to take this. So it's going to be somehow where they are going to get this whole Jew, Arab, Hamas thing straightened out in the Middle East, and everybody's going to live in relative harmony. Mm-hmm. That's the person we got to look out for.
Because you have, like, the people who love, like, regardless, whoever you get as president, you have half of the people that hate them or half the people that love them. You can never get somebody in there that everybody loves. It's impossible. At so that, point, I don't get how this is going to – obviously, right. It's going to happen because it's in the book.
Okay. It's like what happened with Germany. After World War I, Germany was crushed. Adolf Hitler rose up, and he unified the country. He made it prosperous. They were starting to boom again. So everybody loved the guy who brought prosperity to a nation that was crumbled.
Yeah, but was he loved? Obviously, he was in love because everybody knew how evil he was. But
I mean, I think the German people generally thought of him well, because if someone comes in and brings prosperity to something that was destroyed, you're going to trust the guy.
So you think it'll be a human that will...
I would think so.
You don't think it would be some machine or some AI, whatever?
I don't think so. I think that might be one of his tools that he can use to spread the message. Because obviously, in a few seconds, punching on your phone, you could be in contact with somebody in Swaziland.
Yeah.
What the message will go all around the world. You know?
Yeah.
At the so spreading the word. That's the times we're looking for.
Yeah, and it's very easy to have a one world order, because the guy I watch, William Pope, he's talking about how we're getting into a one world order, the way the banking system's getting there.
Right.
Our cashless.
Let's all go digital. Yeah, that's brilliant.
A digital world, no cash, all that stuff, blah, 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 blah.
You were going through the things in the Quran last week.
Yeah.
That's the goal of Islam. One world rule of everybody by a theocracy.
Are they going to win?
That's what we're looking at. We don't know if it's going to be them or not.
Scary if they
we don't know.
Do you know how that would make perfect sense if leaders of Yeshua, sorry, if followers of Yeshua were persecuted heavily, that would be the perfect people to persecute Christians and Jews, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Islam, that's what they're doing now.
Yeah,
they want nothing to do with anything of from the real God. They love their own false crap god over there.
Yeah.
I don't know, judgment, but seriously.
Yeah.
I understand there's good Muslim people out there, but there's a lot of psychopaths that want nothing but blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would make perfect sense if they actually rose up in power. And look what they're trying to do now. I mean, with mass migration, they're just planting themselves everywhere and trying to outbreed everybody.
They've taken over the UK dramatically.
Just saying. I mean, how long till it happens here? I mean, I know that we basically shut off, import of letting people in. And if we can get them out fast enough, we might be safe for a while. But
a couple years, but
you know what I'm saying? That's what they've been doing. They've been trying to take over everywhere.
Right.
So yeah. It could be them. Very well could be them. That would make absolute perfect sense why we'd all be persecuted to no end. Because people who say they're religious and are following God are mass slaughtering their enemies.
And it's their rules to do it.
Yeah.
In order for them to follow correctly, we specifically read their Bible verses that specifically order them to murder us.
And they love the lesser jihad. They basically swapped the in Islam there's the greater jihad. That is the self struggle, the struggle within. That is the better thing to fight against, to you know, kind of help purify yourself and become a better person. That's the idea of the greater jihad, which greater should be better than the lesser, right?
Right.
That would make sense.
Right.
The lesser jihad is to go against the enemies of Islam, basically. But that should only be done when you're fought against. What they've done is basically, I don't even think they care about the greater jihad. You still have them with their boy play and stuff like that. They basically rape children. Boys, only boys, because you wouldn't deflower a young lady like that, but they rape young boys, so they screw them up, so they're all screwed up in the head because they're just keep raping each other.
Yeah.
And when they're young, and they just, I don't know, they're just so demented at that point.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And it's posted, if you go in the right areas of Twitter, it's there.
So yeah, they're all messed up in the heads, and then they're following this false deity that's probably, you know, Satan himself or the beast or whatever you want to call it.
You got something you want to say?
Got something I want. Another clue to where the place in the world that we're talking about. Daniel 8:4. And I saw a ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hands. But he did according to his will and became great. Talked about that before, about when Cyrus took over, wiped out the Assyrians, started Babylon, basically. Then a he-goat comes up from and moves to the west and overpowers the ram. Or comes from the west and moves east. That's Alexander the Great wiping Cyrus out and spreading his empire. And then later it goes on to where, and then he dies and his kingdom is split into four parts according to his four leaders, which is where we get the Ptolemies in Egypt and the Seleucids in Syria and Iran and Lebanon and Eastern Turkey, which is the part that we're talking about where this guy should be coming from.
Right. Isn't the guy who owns OpenAI from there, the one that William Pope says is the Antichrist, one that has six initials, and he owns OpenAI.
Could be.
And he took the three hits, and like where the three major executives were fired, and he took the hit and was now the top dog now, blah, blah, blah. He's broken everything down perfectly.
I don't think a guy who created AI is going to be very loved by, I don't know how he'd bring people together, because how many people don't like AI? And I just don't.
It's fun for cat videos.
So, on occasion, it is good for scraping the internet and telling you what websites say. That's a useful tool at times.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, because I had to fix something. I updated my Linux computer and it broke my Samba shares on it. So I'm like Googling this and AI's just like, oh, here's the steps to do it. Oh, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
I know it just grabbed it from the websites that were down below, but all that information is right there.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
What else? What else we got?
Were you looking for something else? Because I wanted to...
I am. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to kind of re-illustrate what I was talking last time about, basic shots, right? I was talking about ivermectin and the COVID shots and all
right.
That fun stuff. And where Revelation hints at, like, pharmaceuticals.
Okay, let's do it.
So in Revelation 9, starting at 17, it talks about saw horses in a vision, and it kind of goes on about them killing a third of men with fire and smoke and brimstone that comes out of their mouth, for their powers in their mouth and in their tails. Now you could think maybe a tail being like a needle.
Animal tail.
Yeah, I mean, you could think that. I'm not sure if that's exactly what that's talking about there. Could be not. I'm just saying it does say there's, you know, there's power in their tail. For the tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads with them, and they do hurt. So they harm people with their tails. So, okay, that's interesting, but it continues. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, so that was killing people. So it goes on, and that says in Revelation 9:21, it says, neither repented they of their murders, or of their sorceries, of their fornication, nor of their thefts. That doesn't seem to have anything to do with what I was just talking about with the scorpion's tail, right?
Right.
Except we in, at least in the King James, I'm sure the other translations, sorceries. The word here, there's two general, there's a couple of words, but the here, it's pharmakos. I think, I don't know exactly these words. But here, think of pharmakos, or
pharmakia.
You think, well, later on, no, this is the Greek here. Later in Revelation 18, it's pharmakia, or pharmacy, pharmakia, you'd think, or pharmacy, pharmacist. It's the same general root words here. Actually, yeah, the word here and the pharmakia have they both have a root word. And these words mean, you know, here, the main word for sorcery here is poisoner. Second is a pharmacist. This comes out of the Strong's Concordance. Poisoner. Sorcerer is a poisoner, or it is a pharmacist.
Now, someone
about that.
Someone would argue, though, that the pharmacist, you know, I mean, I get good meds all the time.
True. And that's that's the thing.
Technically, any pharmaceutical you get, any drug, is a poison put into your body to stop your body from doing something that you don't want it to do.
Now
you have an infection.
Now we're really pissing people off.
You have an infection that's poisoning your body. You put another poison in your body to kill that poison to make you well.
Okay, so when I get my migraine, you're telling me I can't take my meds, bro, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm not saying that.
No,
but you want to be careful.
I want to be like one of those guys that are going to be writing in. So what you're saying is I can't take my medication for my diabetes.
These things can be useful and life-saving and good for mankind. Of course, you know, like anything, everything that is made that's
good. There's always a bad
thing. It always can be twisted. Yeah, so that's just interesting.
Right. We always take things to the crazy level here, obviously.
Unfortunately.
Just being sarcastic. But
in Revelation 18:23, it also mentions... we got the right spot here.
But I get what you're saying, because there's the evil side mm-hmm. of the pharmaceutical, which is clearly... We clearly yes. know this, because yes. why is it my wife's medication... to help her with her fibromyalgia, which she has electricity going through her body from head to toe, is $1,000 a month, and it takes $5 to make the med.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of greed behind it, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Revelation 18:23, it says, "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, pharmakia, were all nations deceived." It's talking about great Babylon. Hmm. By your sorceries, by your poisons, your pharmacies, your pharmaceuticals, all nations were deceived by great Babylon, by their pharmaceuticals. Now, by their poisons.
By COVID shot. There you go, bro.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But I thought about, too, when it comes to, like, poisons, could this also be talking about, what about our food supplies? Do you know how many things in our food supply are basic poison to the human body? It's like refined sugars. Let's really get at
yeah.
things that two of us have a soda with... simple sugars in them.
Me and Leo are going to die anyways. Let's do it.
I'm just saying, the poisons that have been put into our food system that we eat all the time that are slowly killing us. Is that actual sorcery, according to the Bible? Is that biblical sorcery? You think about all of our ultra-processed foods we have, all these chemicals they throw in that are terrible for us. Is that what Revelation would call sorcery?
Go back to Hamlet. The three witches are on the cauldron. Stirring the cauldron.
So, just, I don't know, just kind of a thought I had. Like, it could be part of it.
So, I'm not going to argue with you and tell you that you're wrong. So, at the same time, I could walk out the store and get hit by a truck.
True.
So,
but that does that mean that you should put poison in your body because I could die at any time?
But if you walk out of this building and get hit by a truck, that's the will of God.
Correct.
Is poisoning yourself you the will of God?
Pharmaceuticals into your body to help a chronic condition. Is that the will of God? No, that's free will. You have the choice not to take that and suffer with the pain and the anguish. Or you can take it and feel better. It's not going to take your salvation away from you in any respects.
Correct.
But are you, in the long run, deterring the natural functions of your body by getting over a temporary inconvenience?
What about type 1 diabetic
with insulin?
Then? Yeah. What we've touched on is an area that is so gray that you have pissed off so many people listening right
That's
now.
That's what I'm here for, folks. Yep. Well, think no. Okay.
So take your medications. So don't, obviously, not do it.
Tabby would be dead right now if she was to not
exactly
understand that.
Sure,
but it all ties together. I mean, it would technically speaking, could that possibly be against the will of God? If that is the sorcery. Right. Well, that's a very fair question. It is I understand fair, the
but God
understand
made
do- what
God
we're saying.
Made doctors and medicine for a reason.
Right. And you pray for your doctor.
Yes. You know, I actually saw a judge pray for a person he sentenced.
I did for my kidney thing. I prayed for the doctor.
That was a really cool thing I saw. Yeah. But yeah, especially if you have a doctor who's faith based, mm-hmm. that's the best kind
of
doctor.
I just want to ask the question though. I want to ask the hard, stupid, nonsensical question of, you know, is even insulin technically, you know, this sorcery? That's a fair question. It's something that you should at least consider.
Now, my dad, his grandfather, came down with kidney disease. He had a choice. Go on dialysis or die. That's all there was.
Yeah.
Now, rightfully so, when you go on dialysis, you sign your death warrant because you never come off. When you come off, you're done.
Correct.
But he made a conscious decision. Yes, I want to continue. I made the choice. Doctor didn't force him. I didn't force him. God didn't force him.
Right.
Now, Tabby can choose not to take her stuff. It's not going to be any good for her. That's not the right choice. You have to make the right choice in each individual cases on to what pharmaceutical you take, not have the government come down upon you and say, if you want to keep your job in America, you've got to go get the COVID shot. Yeah. If you want to stay in the Army in the United States, you got to get the COVID shot. That's not your choice. You are having your hands tied behind your back.
There's a difference between
that is not free will.
Right. There's a difference between what you just said and the medicine that you require to
exactly.
live.
Yeah. Do you need ibuprofen to get rid of a headache? No. They are natural and homeopathic methods mm-hmm. that you can get rid of headaches that are fairly effective. If you choose to take the pharmaceutical, more power to you. God's not going to stop you from doing that.
Is God going to strike you with lightning for doing it?
No, he's not.
Is he going to be ashamed at you? No.
No, he's not.
Is he probably going to be like, you know, I was a little disappointed. Sure. Maybe that'll be a conversation he has with you. Who knows? He's going to talk to every person differently and judge everything differently. But if you're going out there taking some weed, just so you can get high?
You know, actually, that
if it's just to get high or if it's to get rid of joint pain, there's a different story.
Exactly.
Well, that's
my wife getting high, which I try. I want her to get, which she does. She doesn't want to do it because she can't smoke it because she has asthma. But I tell her take the gummies to make your joints feel better. And that is a medical thing that a doctor would sign off on.
You do know.
But that's homeopathic and it's right. Natural.
It's natural. Yes. But if she was to go smoke something to feel better, that's wrong.
That's not pharmacia, though. That is different. That is a natural, that's a plant that can be used to help mankind.
Yeah. I use a plant to take care of my gout.
Yeah.
If the plant isn't growing, if it's out of season, I go to the doctor and I get a steroid. When the plant's in season, which is just coming in now and it goes to like September, I go out and pick a couple leaves off the ground on my way home, soak my feet in hot water with it, and 2 days, my gout's gone.
Good deal.
Which is a lot faster than 7 days on steroids and $100 or so out of pocket to get the doctor visit and the prescription. Use the homeopathic stuff first.
I just picked my brother-in-law for going to the ER for gout.
Yeah, you've got a mild headache. Rub the spot between your index finger and your thumb. Just rub it gently in that webby area. Your headache will go away.
Drink more water, too.
And drink more water. The stuff works. Some people say, oh, that's just voodoo. You're manipulating your body in a way you're not supposed to.
My migraines aren't that easy, though. So
I've had those migraines, and it's not. The only way I get rid of mine is lay down, close your eyes, stay as quiet as possible,
and just go to sleep. And I have 8 hours of work. I can't do it. I got to med up.
And that's the problem. Yeah. Exactly.
And I guess I don't...
You have a good point, Saul. I'm not saying you're wrong.
And I don't want
to
say that...
There's a difference between being forced to and making a choice, you know...
Yes, and yeah. I don't want to say all of that is necessarily bad, because even strong pharmakia, however it's properly said, the fourth definition is to remedy or to cure. Right. So, I mean, it seems like one of those things that it can be useful, but it can be devastating when we use it for what's bad, and that's... I think a lot of it's used that way. It's used to keep people sick. It's used to make a lot of people money these days. Like with the COVID-19, this mRNA vaccine thing, it was used to... The general population was the test subject. They wanted to know what it would do to people, because it's supposed to actually change like your DNA sequencing. It was meant to change your body, not cure a virus in your body or get rid of it, but to change who you are fundamentally. That's the point of it, to see how it would work and to see if people would take it.
You know, Jesus taught us to do everything with the balance, if you will. You know, it's okay for you to drink alcohol. You're just not allowed to get drunk. That's when it becomes a sin. You're okay to get anger. But it's what you do with that anger that makes it a sin. You know, there's always a balance to everything. So it's like if you're gonna drink your Dr. Pepper, obviously it's probably not the greatest thing for you. But it's if you do it in doing it once a day or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the moral story is of that. So, but the point is that, you know, if you're gonna take your meds, do it right. Do it the right way. Don't abuse it, kind of thing. You know.
And it's not kosher for our Jewish friends. So it's wrong according to them anyway.
Yeah, and you do bacon and
I do bacon and all that stuff. That's right.
So
Jesus did point to the day that he come back, if we remember our scripture, when he goes into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he reads this from Isaiah 61: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he stops mid-sentence at the comma.
Which is interesting. That's
because, and the day of vengeance of our God to confront or to comfort all that mourn. The day of vengeance is in the future. That's when he comes back on the Day of Atonement. He couldn't say that in fulfilling Isaiah 61, because if he had said that last part, he would have been saying the day of vengeance is now. Right. So he only fulfilled the scripture that he was here to fulfill.
Right.
And he left that hanging because it hadn't happened yet.
And he's talking about going to hell to rescue the people that were there before he saved everybody for their sins.
Which in the Catholic reference is what he does while he's in the tomb. He goes down and frees those, which I think those people are the ones that sit in front of the throne and worship God all day, the ones who were held in Abraham's bosom. That's me talking. I have no theological orientation for that whatsoever.
I've heard a different theory on that. So if we are past the millennial reign, the whole Tartarian thing was the millennial reign, and now we're after the fact. There were like a bunch of, bunch of oddities there, but who are we now who are living after the millennial reign? Some people think that those who were around before the Messiah came and who didn't hear him, we may have actually been allowed a second chance knowing who the Messiah is, living again, so we can actually profess our faith in Yeshua as our Messiah. I'm not saying that's correct, but that's a very interesting theory as well. God allowed us to live a second time in order to profess.
My biggest argument is that we should have seen the New Jerusalem coming down out of the sky if the Tartaria thing was right and we're post-millennium.
After the season that...
But we would have had that because that comes at the end of the millennium.
No, that comes after Satan's loosed for a little while.
That's what I said, the short season. But and then into the fire, and then...
But we're most likely the most 250 years out from that. And how long is that season?
Yeah, maybe. Back to subject.
Is that meaning not reincarnation, but are you saying that... You got born again.
We were allowed to live a second time in order to actually be able to profess our faith in the Messiah, because we couldn't do that from before. So God gave our souls that chance to do that.
I'm saying
I've heard this.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting theory.
Yeah,
could it be? Possibly. I don't know. But
at some point, I know this is off topic, but at some point, we have to talk about, there's many theories on hell in regards to, does your 70 years on earth make, basically mean you have to last eternity in hell? Or is there nihilism and all this stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. So I definitely want to get into that because that's going to touch a lot of people's toes and stuff. But we'll get there because, that's going to be a fascinating subject because I study that all the time about, because hell, Jesus talked about hell way more than he ever talked about heaven. And he did say it was forever. He never mentioned about nihilism. But people like to think nihilism is true because it makes them feel better. That, basically you just get destroyed and you just don't exist anymore.
The problem is, and there's a book, I should find it, there's a book that has, there's like three different general views on this, and the problem is, with what's said, nihilism almost looks like it could be true, or we have eternal souls that are, that people are going to be in hell for, tormented for eternity. Both, depending on how you read it, seem valid. And that's interesting.
Well, nihilism is totally different because that means you cease to exist after you've been destroyed.
At some point. So, yeah.
If you're totally destroyed, how can you be raised, the dead rise first, And then we that are alive come and meet them in the clouds.
It's after that. It's the after.
But if you're
part
destroyed, all... ultimately, there's nothing to bring back.
Right. Well, no, I'm
that's
saying...
at the very end.
Yeah.
That's Judgment Day. It's right. Like when you go to the Lake of Fire.
Yeah, it's the Lake exactly. of Fire. Afterwards, after we're judged, then everyone's still in the Lake of Fire. It only says that, like, the beast and...
The beast and his angels will live there forever, but...
For them, it's eternal.
Correct.
It doesn't actually say if it's eternal or there's destruction for everybody else. That's what I find fascinating about the Lake of Fire.
Yeah.
It's eternal for them. What about the normal people, though?
Right.
It doesn't say.
I mean, technically, we can talk about hell because it is part of Revelation, and that is dissecting it. So, I don't know if I want to talk about it today because it's a real heavy subject.
It is. Found that fascinating. Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know why. But I watch a ton, and I mean a ton, of hell videos. Like, people going to hell, people coming back from hell, what it's like in hell. Like, I'm fascinated with that because, you know, I don't want anyone going there. But the more I research so much hell stuff, just because I don't know why I'm so, like, why? I don't know if it's because... And obviously, I'm scared because I always still, no matter, even though I know I have this relationship with Jesus, you still have that in the back of your head. Maybe I'm just not good enough and I'm going to end up there after all is said and done. I don't know if that's it. And you're like, you know, you watch those videos, 5 signs you're headed to hell. And I'm like, I always watch all those videos and stuff. And I know it's the devil playing with me and stuff. But I watch so many of those videos, especially the people that have died and gone there and said what it's like and stuff. But I think it's just to educate myself of, like, you don't ever want to go there, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when we get on that topic, I have so much stuff to talk about.
Hell is another one of those things that we have westernized because we have turned in hell being the absence or presence of God in your life.
Right.
Which is what Satan created when he fell from heaven into the description that Dante put into his 3 novels. And we have completely westernized what hell is. And so we come off in a predisposition to this is what it is.
We believe it's the inferno, Dante's inferno.
Exactly. And not necessarily.
And the videos I watch, all the stories line up with all their experiences. All of them line up with darkness, torture, smells, flesh, mm-hmm. flesh. Peeling off of your skin and being re-put back on just so it right. can be re, you know, all that.
Regrow the next day so it can be done again.
With the worm that never dies and all that stuff. And the people that know that they're there, who, the gnashing of the teeth is that the people that curse God because they know they hate God, they're there, and the people that are wailing because they know that they love God and weren't good enough and they wish they could have changed things. And that there's a difference there, and hell is actually underneath the earth. It's actually on planet Earth, but it's actually underneath the earth.
That comes from the Greek myths of Prometheus, when he gave fire to man.
Yeah,
and Zeus chained him, and every day an eagle would come and eat his liver.
Yeah,
every night his liver would grow back for eternity.
Yeah,
he had his. There's where your demons are eating your flesh, and overnight it grows back. That's kind of the whole thing wrapped together.
Mm-hmm. I think you get this. Who's the guy who did the Narnia books?
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis had a book about basically it was the Screwtape Letters.
Yes.
I believe in there it kind of talks about that whole certain punishments of destruction and regrowth of
books. C.S. Lewis was a very prominent English author that came from a non-Christian view and learned more about Christianity as he wrote against it. He was in the same genre, the same speaking groups, the same college area that J.R.R. Tolkien was. They were friends. So a lot of the Narnia stuff works off of what Tolkien wrote. Mm-hmm. And Tolkien has some of the stuff about what Lewis put into his books. So, no, there's a mishmash there going on.
Yeah.
Well, that's how, I think his name is Lee Sobel. I think it was his name. He was like a journalist or something, and he wanted to try to disprove Christianity, and he ended up becoming Christian.
Oh, yeah, the case for Christ.
Yeah, that guy.
That's mm-hmm. the niece. Yeah, that
yeah.
Book. Yeah.
Same thing.
So I do actually have an email from our fellow old coworker, but I'm afraid if we read it, we're going to be here another half hour.
When you say old coworker, is it you're saying that he's old or yes. you used to work with him?
Both. So what we're going to do is next week we'll start off with his email to start the conversation. So thank you, Chuck, for writing in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, love you, Chuck.
Good stuff. So let's get into the music spotlight. All right, so did you know?
You made your correction.
I made my correction. And by the way,
that's a decent song, isn't it?
It wasn't actually his mistake.
It wasn't my mistake. The video that I downloaded had the correct title, but the song was wrong inside the video.
Oh no! Are you saying you're downloading songs off the internet?
Yes. But when I went back, actually put in the correct song,
Napster's gonna get you.
When I put in the correct song, I'm like, I know this song. I listen to it all the time. Yeah. Great song. Now I get why you dig her so much. I was like, your dad listens to pop Christian radio. I love it. It's great stuff. So I like it. Good stuff. So since we're talking Revelation, I've played this like a long time ago, and we're going to do it now. We're going to go with Pillar We Ride because it's all about Revelation and riding with Jesus on the white horse. So, and it freaking kills. And then if you got something for next week, bring me something.
Okay.
All right. If you want to write in, feel free to do so at frontlineharmonypodcast@gmail.com. I got to get rolling because the wife is going to be yelling at me soon. So Saul, I hope you have a great and fantastic vacation.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to miss you. Hopefully nothing goes weary. I'm afraid it will.
Just don't call me. Figure it out.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes,
just wait longer. You guys are smart. You can figure it out.
Yeah.
If not, just tell the customer to wait. It'll be
fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So we will be back next week with more Dissecting Revelation. We're going to get more into what we're talking about here. We'll probably get into hell stuff. Yeah. We're going to be on this for a couple of weeks, folks. Please write in. We want to hear from you. Tim, I'm waiting for your email. Pastor Eddie, I'm waiting for your email.
Thank you in Vietnam for listening.
Yes, thank you, Vietnam, again, for being our most downloaded people.
Still waiting for your email?
Yes, still waiting for your email. Why are you listening to us, schmucks? I have no idea. Are we that fascinating?
Three boring white guys sitting here. And
for real. It's crazy. All right, well, you guys have a good one. Take care.
Harmony out. Fire in his eyes. Oh, we can't just stop.
set on it was death, and hell followed with him. But we ride with the one on the white horse.